am Apostle Janita Collins, and listen, I'm ready to get it cracking, okay? I have labored for this word today, and I think you're going to enjoy it. I'm sorry, I have some things that aren't here, right? That aren't present. Thank you for that. Now, with that being said, I thank you for just addressing the church, right? And so that's why we're here today, because God has some things that he needs to get right within his body, right? So I'm not preaching to everybody. I'm preaching to those who belong to the ecclesia of Jesus Christ himself. I'm preaching to those who want to be like Christ. I am preaching to those who understand that something has gone wrong in their salvation, even those who understand they actually aren't saved, right? Either way, listen, I am here to help you get on track. I am here to help you get realigned. I am here to help you figure out what's going wrong so that you can understand all that Jesus Christ has to offer you that's righteous. Did you hear what I said? I didn't say right. I said that's righteous, right? Because this is the problem with the body. We don't understand holiness. We don't understand righteousness. We don't judge like our king. We judge like our filthy souls and our filthy minds and our filthy desires, okay? And so with that being said, today the message that I'm bringing to you is criminal love in the ecclesia. Listen to me. Hear me. Well, listen, I thought I was going to do this before the world celebrates as Valentine's Day, right? I thought that I was going to bring this message before then, but for some reason, God had me to hold it off until now. And I guess he wanted folks to go ahead and see where they were in 2025. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about Christian folk. I'm talking about folk that call themselves belonging to the king. He wanted you to see where you are so now you can righteously judge yourself. Because I'm going to give you a lot of information so that you can righteously judge yourself. Do you hear me? Listen, if you can't righteously judge yourself, you cannot righteously judge anyone else. So listen, criminal love in the ecclesia, free me, liberate me, and deliver me. Okay, we're going to stay on that topic until we are no longer on that topic. That's how God does me, right? And so if you've been with me, you know we've been tracking through first at the top of the year. We started dealing with the traits in the markings of Judas in our life, right? We have to take a look at ourselves. We have to know when the enemy is duking us out of our own inheritance, right? It is no good to be able to see every devil and every demon and every everybody else and not be able to see it in yourself. It is no good to be able to judge everybody else and not be able to judge yourself. So that's what salvation is all about. Listen, if you're going to work out your soul salvation, you must understand it's your soul salvation, not your neighbor's. Not your neighbor's. So listen, in God's world, that's considered criminal. Okay? That's considered an illegal act. Why? Because you are literally walking through somebody else's life and avoiding your own. Come on. You're literally trying to lead and guide somebody else's life, but not leading and guiding your own justly and righteously. Are you hearing me? Come on, saints. Are you hearing me? And I am hot in here, so can I get some air? Listen, I am hot. I don't know if I'm on fire internally or what, but I am burning up. I'm ready to go. Listen, with that being said, we went through righteousness, and I think Prophet Nigeria, she did a review from last week as to continue to bring you forward, because I don't want you to be lost in the message. I don't want you to be lost in understanding, right? Because I'm building. That's the way God uses me. He uses me to build. Any apostle is a builder. They're going to build your soul. They're going to build your mind. They're going to build whatever they put their hands to. It's going to be a building, and it's going to be an upright building, okay? Now, with that being said, let's hop into it. Because God has been saying for over a month to me to release this word to his people. Why? Because he has every interest in saving you. But the word is, you do not know what love is. You do not know what love is. Oh my God. I'm like, God, come on here. He's like, no. Tell the people that they do not have a understanding of what my love is. They cannot walk out my love until they understand what it is. What I want to talk about today, let's get back into it. You do not know what love is, okay? With that being said, I want us to understand that Jesus is our standard of love, not humanity, okay? Jesus is our standard of love, not humanity, all right? Children of God, I want you to hear me today and hear me well, okay? Love is an eternal being, not an earthly deity. Love is an eternal being, not an earthly deity. Just last week, we had the whole world celebrating Eros, right? But with that being said, I want you to understand love is eternal. It's not temporal. Love is eternal. It's not Eros. It doesn't really exist. Not God's love. It cannot exist in the human realm. It has to exist in his eternal spirit. And the reason why we have love totally confused and we're preaching a false doctrine is because that false doctrine leans to the human being, not the spiritual being. Oh, come on here. I know, listen, I'm going to have to walk this thing out real slow because I know I'm going to step on some understandings and I'm going to break some hearts today for the right reason. I want to break your heart towards Jesus Christ, no longer towards your own self, no longer towards false doctrine, no longer towards criminal activity. Mm-hmm. Yes, I said it. Criminal activity in the kingdom is not acceptable. You must begin to decide who's on the Lord's side. Listen to me and listen to me well. A lot of the activity in the kingdom, quote unquote kingdom, let's just say the church, not the ecclesia, a lot of what's happening is because of criminal law. It's not love. It's not because of the love of Jesus Christ. I'm coming out the gate. And listen, I'm having all this external little warfare, but it doesn't matter because listen, I win. I'm a king. I already won. Before I even started speaking, I won. This message is coming forth and it's coming forth in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Understand me. I'm not a punk and I'm not weak. I'm not afraid of this little situation that's happening. And if you are with Jesus Christ, you will understand why you need to stick around and listen, because I have something from eternity to speak to you today about. Love is attached to duties, not delusions. I will say it again. Love is attached to kingdom duties, kingdom assignments, not delusions. Love is attached to kingdom assignments, kingdom duties, not your worldly, sensual delusions. Come on here now. Love is actionable, not fillable. I'm going to say it again. Love is actionable, not fillable. I don't want to hear about I feel love. You cannot feel love. Love is an action. You do love. You do love. It's an action. I fed my child because I loved her. And I continue to love her. I put myself down because I love her. It's actionable. I don't buy her things because I love her. I train her because I love her. Are you hearing me? Actionable, not a feeling. Because on many days, you may not feel loved, but it's the best thing that's happening for you and to you. Jesus, help us today. All right. Jesus fulfilled the full measure of love when he laid down his life for you. I'll say it again. Jesus fulfilled the full measure of love when he laid down his life for you. So here's the question that I'm going to pose to each and every one of you who think that you know love. Who did you die for? Who did you lay your life down for? What's on record for you? What sacrifice is on record for you in heaven and on earth and in hell about your character, about your integrity, about your decisions, about your choices? Come on here today. You don't know what love is. Jesus is the progenitor of love, and God is the Father who is the originator of love. What did they go through to produce us? Have you ever thought about that? Now that's love. That they saw fit to shape you, to place you in your mother's womb, to birth you into the, come on here today. I'm about to come out of my own skin. Because you know what? We are the weakest links because we always got a complaint about our natural mother and our natural father. We are the weakest link and we can't even begin to see how much God loved us because he birthed us. He gave us breath in our lungs. Which means we all have the opportunity to hear the gospel and perform the gospel according to Jesus Christ. You don't know what love is. You have no clue what love is. I'll ask again, who did you die for? Because when you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you must die. That which you birthed, that which your parents birthed, comes to an end at some point. There is an exchange. You go from death to life because that natural world is full of death. There is no light and there is no life. Because you are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That is what scripture tells us. So those who are not working out their soul salvation to make sure they do not look like the lineage that they were birthed into, but instead they look like the lineage that they were engrafted into. The lineage of Jesus Christ. Come on here today. You don't know what love is. Look at your naturalization into Jesus Christ. Are you one that keeps pushing back on truth? Are you one that can't uphold the rules and the regulations? Are you one who wants to bring your old into every new? Are you the one? You don't know what love is.
My God.
When we reflect on the offensive love of God, I want you to hear me. God's love is offensive to the soul. It's offensive to your natural mind. It will always cause you to be at enmity. Why? Because it's not of him. Come on. It's not of him. It's of your mother. It's of your father. But listen, even Jesus had to say, who is my mother? Who is my father? Oh, go open up your scripture and tell me that I'm wrong or am I right? And if Jesus had to question, who is his mother? Who is his father? Why aren't you? Since you're a Christian, which means you're after Christ. Your likeness is after Christ. Yet, you're so dedicated to natural things and natural resources, such as mother and father. But you're not dedicated to the spirit of the living God that lives inside of you. Oh, yeah, little faith. Scripture doesn't only show us the beautiful love and the beautiful war of Jesus Christ. It sets before us highlights of tragic failures when love falls short of God's standard. That's what we're going to deal with first. We're going to deal with first the failures, the tragic failures, when love falls short of God's standard. I don't know how much I'm going to be able to get through. And I don't know how many parts this will entail. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like it's going to be more than I thought. As I always say, God, give me one little thing. And here we go. Listen, this is just the beginning. I haven't even gotten through all of my notes that he downloaded. This is just a tip. But I'm going to give it to you. You don't know what love is. The first thing we have to look at is Cain's unloving act. Come on here. We're going to use scripture today. Mm-hmm. We're going to use scripture today as if I don't ever. I always use scripture. But listen, we're going to use scripture today because early on in the canonized scripture, we see the devastating consequence when love is absent. Mm-hmm. See, we got to think about this righteously because you can't kill your brother if you have the king's love.
Right.
You can't annihilate your brother if the king's love is inside of you. You can only murder your brother if Jesus Christ is void and absent in you. Cain's murder of his brother Abel is not just an act of violence. It is a failure of brotherly love. Now, the reason why we really have to begin to look at this and understand scripturally when God keeps talking about how you treat your brother, how you treat your neighbor, this brotherly love, listen, because he knows without a shadow of a doubt that how you treat your brother is how you treat him. I'm going to let you think about that for a second. So all of you who think because you're a leader or you're a mother or you're an aunt, whatever you think that you are, and you don't know how to handle people, it's because you have no love. You don't have the king's love. You do not. Because the king handles everybody righteously. The king world is already stocked with consequences on every act that we make. So the only thing that you can be is a righteous judge in the king's world, which is why he teaches us to discern. So that we're not the ones making ourselves a fool and causing ourselves to have to be judged. So we use the scripture wrong. You know, we like to say, oh, we're not supposed to judge anybody. No, no, no. No, that's not what scripture says. What does it say? Who knows what it says about judging others? Who knows? Somebody pulled it up. What? Okay, you want to say it right? Okay. And the reason why it's important for you to understand this and put it in right context is because the church has been telling us that we're not supposed to judge. And that's a lie. That's all Jesus did. He judged what was of him and what was of his father. I mean, what was of his father and what was of the world. That's all he did. If he didn't, then there would be no reason for him to tell those demons to go. That was a judgment. Is it not? If it wasn't, then he would have let them stay there and continue to torture. You got it? All right. I'm listening.
Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged.
Oh, wait. Don't rush that thing. Don't rush it. Because it's right there in the middle, right there, that we keep missing. What does it say?
For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged.
Okay, so from what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. Go ahead.
And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again.
Listen. It doesn't say do not judge. It says your abilities. It's talking about capacity and ability to judge. That's what we're talking about right here. If you don't have the capacity to righteously judge, then you will always be the one being judged. See, because you have to become a righteous judger to separate the truth from the lie. You have to become a righteous judger to not be deceived. If the elect could be deceived, cannot. The elect cannot be deceived. It is not a truth. It cannot happen. Why? Because we judge according to Jesus Christ, not according to our flesh, not according to our feelings, not according to our man, not according to our mother, not according to our father. Listen. We judge according to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We judge according to the law and the prophets. We judge according to eternity. The canonized scripture, not another word. We don't care if it was once in the scripture or not. We don't care if some other prophet preached that God. We do not care. Because we don't take on foreign gods. You don't know what love is. Because love judges righteously. Love frees you. Love does not put you in bondage. And it might hurt a little bit. But when you get to the other side, when you get into freedom, when you get into the love of Christ, when you get that new heart of flesh that only turns whichever way God turns, when you become a living epistle, it don't feel too bad. Your new language, your new love language becomes, so where else are we going, God? What else do you need from me, God? Was that enough for you, God? What do you need from me, God? Where do you need me to go, God? Oh, but that's not you. You always telling God about what you want and how you feel and what you need to do and how you're going to get back to him and how much you disagree with his world. And you think he's really letting you into heaven? You think he's really letting you into eternity? You're not an eternal being. You have to become an eternal being right here, right now. You have to understand your eternality right here, right now, which is why he said you must work out your soul salvation right here, right now. If you was just getting in because you said, Lord, come into my heart, then guess what? There would be no reason for him to be standing there to make a decision and judge you. So, did you enjoy all of your fame and fortune? So, did you enjoy fulfilling all of your appetites? So, what's on the record for me? Because last time I looked, you weren't concerned about me. You haven't been concerned about me for 10, 20, 30 years. Yeah, I can't let you in based on when you first came to me. I'm sorry. No. That's not how this goes. Because only what you do for Christ will last. And the last time I looked, you haven't done anything for Christ. See, you guys don't understand the conversation that God is going to have with you. You don't understand that Jesus is going to be the one judging you. So while you're so busy saying, don't judge me, that's okay. Because the big judge is going to judge you. Abel is not just an act. Abel is not just an act of violence. It is a failure of brotherly love. Rather than nurturing and protecting the relationship meant to flourish between siblings, Cain's jealousy led him to commit an act that shattered that bond. You better be aware of your actions. You better be aware of what you're shattering that God put together. You better be aware of your responsibility or your irresponsibility. You better stop playing with Christ and thinking that it's A-okay. Did you hear? Rather than nurturing and protecting the relationship meant to flourish, well, the first relationship that you're supposed to protect and nurture is your relationship with the Holy Ghost. When was the last time you sat down and spent time with the Holy Ghost? When was the last time you protected and nurtured that relationship? Huh. Oh, no, that's too time consuming. Oh, no, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do that. I don't have enough time. Oh, no, I got to get to work. Well, who you think is giving you the opportunity to work? So if you still ain't figured out how to carve out time for the King, that's a major problem. Rather than nurturing and protecting the relationship, I've been teaching about relationships from day one. You do not know what love is. Therefore, you do not have any real relationships. Oh, my God. You have Eros relationships. Because they're all centered around your desire, your wants, and how you feel. Sensual. But in the kingdom of God, it's supposed to be spiritual. Scripture tells us, know no man by the flesh for a reason. You must know who you're encountering with, who you're sitting with, who you're building relationship by the Spirit of God. Not by what you see, not by what you feel, not by what you hear. That's why half of you are caught up. Because you're trying to get another man's goods. Oh, is that what they do for you? Well, let me go on over there. Next thing, you're trying to hit them up and become friends and build something that don't belong to you. And then God sends you truth. God sends you the real. And you can identify. Now you in an argument. Now you trying to decide if you're going to be in a relationship, out of a relationship, on a relationship, on top of the relationship, around the relationship, in the back of the relationship. You going through all of this. But for the fake and the phony and the thing that will not bless you nor increase you according to God's standard, you're happy to engage. Well, that's just a marker that Jesus Christ is not inside of you. His Spirit is not dwelling inside of you. Because there's no truth inside of you. Because you are not aligning with what's good for you. Because the King said he'll hold no good thing from you. That's scripture. He'll hold no good thing from you. So if you don't have it, it's because it's not good for you. And it may not be good for you right now, but it might be good for you later when you're ready. You know those who want that quick promotion and they ain't ready. And then they fail at every opportunity. Because they couldn't take the slow route. They wanted to exalt themselves. They wanted to put themselves up. They thought more of themselves than they ought to. They made a way out of no way, and they didn't let the King make a way at the most appropriate time. Okay, well, I guess you'll catch that on Tuesday. Nevertheless, let's look at this. Rather than nurturing and protecting the relationship meant to flourish between siblings, by the way, I love that word, siblings, because if you are in Christ Jesus, do you realize we're all brothers? We're brethren. Just by the mere fact that we all are engrafted into Jesus Christ, into his kingdom, into his world. We are all brothers. Which makes us siblings. Let's take away all the titles and things right now. Because if you don't have the basics down, I guarantee you, you can't operate in offices. You don't have the basics down. You are disqualified. All right. God had an intention for their relationship to flourish, but Cain's jealousy led him to commit an act that shattered that bond. Are you shattering the bond that God is calling you to protect and flourish in? Are you shattering the bond that God is calling you to protect and flourish in? No, we have to look at ourselves. That's the point of scripture. See, scripture is not here to make us feel good. Scripture is here to lead us to truth that sets us free. And instead, we're trying to read scripture to lullaby ourselves to sleep. Oh, God, that's not me. Oh, God, no, that's not what I meant. Oh, God, no, that wasn't my intentions. Oh, God, wait, no. Oh, no, yes, it was you. All you. Are you the one destroying and shattering the bond that God is trying to put together for your good so that you can flourish? Are you the one destroying it, unprotecting it, making it susceptible to criminal love? If you could only see my slide. I'm going to get it up here. We're going to get there. My slide, you know how everybody's doing this thing right here? Let me see if I can do it. You know how everybody's doing all of this right here? Well, my slide is good and gray. That heart is good and gray. Ain't no blood pumping through it.
They laughing.
My congregation here, they laughing because, listen, we keep it real over here. Because I only have one interest. I am not preaching this for you to stay bound. I'm preaching this for you to get free. It is no reason to proclaim to be anything in the kingdom of Jesus Christ and your number one desire is not for his people to be set free. So anyway, my little, I love you now, is gray could be. And the reason why is because it's totally lukewarm. That heart can't be stable. It cannot do what God needs. It can only respond to its own feelings. It can only respond to its own desire. It has no blood. It has no fire. It's not lit up. Ain't nothing flowing. It's stagnant, actually. It's dry. It's old. You know how people, when they die, and they start getting that clay color? That's what it is. It's clay. It's not alive. It's not pumping for the king. It has no electricity and life. It's not vibrant. It's dry. The information that's flowing through it is dry. It's old. It's what was. And it keeps filtering through the same old dirty, gray, cloudy situation. So even if you give them something great, even if you tell them something good, they're going to process it through that old gray heart. You're going to be like, hey, it's sunny out here. Let's get in the car. Let's take it. Okay. You know the type. They can't find joy in anything. And then they try and label it. No, I'm happy. Nobody can tell. No, I'm joyous. No, nobody can tell. You look confused. You look confused like, why are you forcing me into joy? Why are you forcing me into life? Why are you forcing me into peace? Why are you forcing me into life? Oh, come on here today. Let's get real, because you don't want to live. Because everything that has life, you hate it. Everything that brings you joy and peace, you reject it. You might show up, but you ain't showing up to have joy and peace. You showing up to be, you know, I did it. Dead works. Dead works. I'm on my first slide. Like I said, I don't even know if we're going to get through it. But listen, it's going to be what it's going to be. I'm going to be like, Jesus, you couldn't carry with me? Stick around. Listen, Cain's jealousy led him to commit an act that shattered that bond. Cain's jealousy. See, dead things is jealous. It's just like Satan. That old serpent. He's so jealous of Jesus because Jesus kept his position. Jesus never changed his position. Jesus stayed with God. Lucifer didn't. And he got downgraded and downgraded and downgraded and downgraded and downgraded and then kicked out. Did not prevail. You read the scripture so you can learn for yourself. That's what happened. I'm going to keep preaching this thing till y'all get it. Why? Because that old gray heart is downgrading you, is downgrading you, is downgrading you, is downgrading you, is downgrading you. And it will downgrade you to the point where you will be kicked out. Because you do not know what love is. See, love got up on the cross. See, love was like, they don't even know why I'm here, but I'm going to still do what I'm supposed to do. See, love wasn't saying, oh, don't nobody like me. Don't nobody appreciate me. Ain't nobody giving me no accolades. Well, let me just go on to someplace else, because no. Jesus got up early in the morning, and he sat with his Father every day to make sure he ensured a win. I may not look like nothing right now. Y'all might think I'm just the son of that old carpenter. But it's like, listen, it's not my time yet. Mama, wait a minute. It's not my time. Don't reveal me too soon, because you know all this glory going to come out. He was walking and doing what he came to do. How about you? Or are you stuck in your feelings? Or are you stuck in that? I love you. I love you. I love death. That's what you're saying. I love death. Because you can't get into life. What's wrong? It's your heart. Cain's heart was full of jealousy. Cain's heart was full of offense towards God. Right? Mm. This serves as a sobering reminder of what happens when we allow sin, offense, and transgression to override the call to love sacrificially. Don't think if you're in Christ Jesus that you're not called to love sacrificially. Then you're not in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus put all of us ahead of him. Remember when he said, oh, could you take this cup from you? It's bitter. And then he said, well, nevertheless, I guess I'm going to have to go on and fulfill this thing, even though I'm not liking it. It's not feeling good. Let me go on and fulfill this for you, not for himself, for you. Because he realized if he didn't do it, you can't do it. So it wasn't about him, it was about you. And he also realized, well, if he cannot fulfill the will of his father, then he can't come back in. So what gospel are you living under? What version are you trying to convince yourself is the truth? But I'm going to tell you the truth today. If Jesus had to do it, so do you. That's the truth. So you can tell yourself, I don't need to judge myself and I don't want to be judged, but you're going to hell. Death is what you're walking out. Because there's no light and no truth inside of you. Either you're going to be overtaken by the light and the love and the truth in the wisdom of Jesus Christ, or either you're going to be overtaken by the darkness in the wisdom in the love for the world. Either way, we all have a choice.
Yes.
And trust me, it's a choice.
Yes.
And you will be judged accordingly. You do not know what love is. According to Genesis 4, 8 through 10, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, you know I ain't going to leave it right there, right? Because we got to go here. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. That's his love. That's his love showing up. I know not. That's his love. That's his love for God, and that's his love for his brother. I know not. Nonchalant. Ignorant. Mm. 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 Ignorant. Oh, you killer.
Jesus.
Mm. Nonchalant. Talking to God like he just something. Jesus. I don't know. Why you asking me? This is our disposition. I know not. Wait a minute. Then he goes a little further, questioning God. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. We're in the kingdom. We are a keeper of each other, and we are a keeper of the word of Jesus Christ. That's why we're not keeping each other, because we don't have the word inside of us, and we're not keeping it. Because if you were a keeper of the word, you would be a keeper of your brother. You cannot let your brother walk by you. And you not say, whoa, wait, something's going on. What do you need? No, but because it's all about you, and you're so broken, and you choose to stay broken, you can never see another brother's need. Because the only thing you see is your own. But here's the problem with that. You actually don't have a need. The only thing you need is Jesus Christ. The only thing you need is the living spirit inside of you. The only thing you need is a relationship with the Holy Ghost. The only thing you need is truth. But you can't get there because you're looking at your sinful nature, born in sin, because you're looking at your shaped in iniquity. You're not looking at freedom. You don't look to God for freedom. You're not asking Jesus to deliver you. You're not asking Jesus to save you. You're not saying, listen, God, I need you to fix my broken soul because I cannot do right by anyone. I can only do right by brokenness. So heal me, help me. I don't want to be this. No, that ain't what you're saying. Yeah, give me a little more of that. Yeah. I know I was pretending yesterday. That was a good one, wasn't it? I know. I was like, hallelujah, thank you. God is good to me all the time, right? Yeah, you was talking all that stuff. And it was empty. Because when God is good to you all the time, you are good to him all the time. When God is good to you all the time, you are good to him all the time. Why? Because you got a bond. You got a relationship. You in this thing. You protecting that thing. Can't nobody come between you and your God. Why? Because he's good all the time. So what God are you serving? You're not serving the true and living God. You do not know what love is because love looks like something. Love looks like responsibility. Love looks like commitment. Love looks like fortitude. Love looks like dedication. Love looks like devotion. Love looks like Jesus Christ. God, do I really have to do this? Oh, really? All right, well, nevertheless, let me go on down this road. Is that your response? Because if it's not, I'm telling you, you do not know what love is. As soon as he said that, am I my brother's keeper? God knew. He said, what have you done? Because he knew his heart was filthy. What kind of response is that to your God? I'm asking this question. What kind of response are you giving your God? Does he have to say to you, what have you done? Who table have you been sitting at? Whose food, whose delicacy have you been eating on? Yeah. That's what I gotta ask. Based off of your responses. And anybody in Christ Jesus is gonna ask you a question based off of your responses. Wait a minute. You don't sound like a king. If you were under my tutelage, you will hear me say that a lot because I'll check that spirit real quick. You don't sound like a king. Who's talking through you? Who are you allowing to use your mouth and use your body and use your mind? Not when you're supposed to be a protector. That should not happen. So then I have to ask you, who are you in a love affair with? Who are you in love with? Who are you having a love affair with? Because you are not responding as a king. What have you done? Who have you transferred information with? Cain and Abel are the first sons of Adam and Eve. Now, you got to go back. I'm going to have to figure out how we can get up on the YouTube station. Listen, because I did a whole teaching on the lies we tell and the truth that we allude, okay? And that was all about the offense that happened in the garden. Listen, you got to do that. You got to go up and you got to watch that because it's imperative for you to get this because this is next level. This is next level. So if you cannot comprehend the first level, this level right here going to tear you up. Because the first level started breaking all them walls down. All of your clearing up your confusion about your identity in Christ and who you are and what you should be doing. It started transforming your mind. It started bringing your mind back online for Jesus Christ. Cain and Abel are the first sons of Adam and Eve. Now Cain kills Cain kills Abel out of envy because God favored Abel's offering over his own. Listen, how many times are you killing the one that God sent to you?
Yes.
Because, one, let's be honest, you were envious. You were jealous. Because they have something that you want and you don't have it. And instead of agreeing and growing, you decided it was better to disagree and kill. I'm going to let y'all think on that. How many of God's prophets and apostles are you killing? That's the question. Because you must understand how that great heart works. That great heart only lives to kill. It doesn't live to live, which is why you have to get the new heart of flesh that we find in Ezekiel. God punishes Cain by forcing him to leave the land, live as a nomad, and he cursed and be cursed in his work. God marked him. Mm-hmm. Here's the question. Why are we afraid to mark those who live like this? Why do we think it's okay to allow our brothers and sisters to run up in ministries that are destroying lives? And we never give a warning. We never say, hey, that may not be the place for you because we start, oh, I'm not going to say nothing because, you know, I'm going to keep my mouth off the man of God. That's not a man or woman of God. I just told you what the man and the woman of God look like and live like. Because you can't be a person that belong to the king and you killing his kids. Okay. You don't believe me? If you don't believe me, then why did he even have to say, what have you done? If he was okay with the killing, it wouldn't have never been a question. There wouldn't have been no conversation. He's not okay. The question is, why are you? And you're professing to be as he is. You're professing to be his leader. You're professing to be his child. I wish somebody would roll up on mine. You won't roll up on him easily. And you better hope that you get out with your life to repent. Because I'm a protector of the relationships that God has given me. Are you? Do you just let your friends roll into anything and do anything and you never even give them a warning because you value how you feel more than the truth? Oh, come on here. Oh, yeah. Let's deal with it. Mm-hmm. See, if you're around me, I really don't care. And I tell you to your face, I really don't care. And you know what? You could be mad and you can go. But you probably won't, because you know it's the truth. And so you'll just stick around and you'll heal, but you'll heal better. That broken place is going to get in alignment. You see? See everybody in the room saying, because listen, probably before I went a little public, everybody probably just thought it was just them. Oh, she just handling me like that. No. Everybody. Nobody is excluded. Because I love you. Because I know what love is. See, but when you don't know what love is, you can't love. But I know what love is. Therefore, I can love. Because Jesus saved me. Yes, he did. And he was like, look, you going to be with me? Then you going to have to die. And I was like, what? What do I have to lose? And he was like, all of you. What? Well, what does that look like? It looks like, yeah, you're going to be emptied out before I'm going to fill you up. But guess what? That's why half of y'all crazy. You know why? Because you trying to get filled up. And you refuse to be emptied out. And scripture has already spoken what's going to happen to you. It said you will burst at the seams. That means your mind.
Yes.
By the way.
Yes.
You will go crazy. Because you can't contain the truth and the lie. They're supposed to be separated. I'm walking this thing out. I'm dropping some wisdom nuggets on ya. Because I walk in real revelation. I ain't no phony apostle, baby.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? And I'm not an apostle that want to draw men unto myself. No, I want to draw you to Jesus Christ so you can live like I live. I want you to be free like I'm free. Because half of you bound in religion and trying to call it Jesus. God also marks Cain so that no one will kill him in revenge for Abel's death. Come on here. Listen, God made Cain walk that thing out. You gonna walk it out. Just like he made Adam and Eve walk it out. No. Because what he says is what he says. How he does it is how he does it. And so you can think that it's something else, but no. That wasn't a protection. That was, you ain't getting up off this earth not 1 minute sooner than I've ordained for you to walk this earth cursed. And if you think he will not do the same to you, I want to know why. If you think you will not walk out your cursed life, I want to know why. Because either you're in Christ or you're not. There is no lukewarm. He said, I spew you out. With that being said, I think that's enough. Because if I drop this next piece on you, I don't know if somebody crossing their eyes and giving me the side eye. Nope, I'm not doing it. Mm-mm. Because you got to walk this thing out. This was a lot. It was heavy. It's going to keep talking to you. I admonish you to come back, watch it again and again and again. Because where we're going next, I'll just give you a taste. Jesus is our standard of love, not humanity. Jesus is our standard of love, not humanity. Jesus is our standard of love, not humanity. We will take this away next week. I'm telling you, because this next one is fuller and longer than I thought, but it's worth it. I do want to land this on you real quick before we get up out of here. This is what I want you to think about this week. This is actually from my teaching, The Truth We Elude. So it's actually the lies we tell and the truth we elude. Okay? And so I gave some key words during that teaching that are totally appropriate for this teaching. I just want to bring it forward to you in case you have not seen that one. But what I want you to study and look up is breach, transgression, and unlawful. And the reason why I need you to do that is because you really need to understand this type of behavior, because you cannot get to love if you don't understand how you're walking around as a breach or a breacher in the kingdom and as a breach in the kingdom, right? As a transgressor in the kingdom and doing transgressions, right? And totally unlawful. Criminal love. In the ecclesia. I hope it's computing for you and you understand how Cain's actions was criminal love. Gray. Look that up. We'll review it come next week. What we will do though is we're going to close out, because I did promise you, listen, we all must report to duty, okay? We must report to duty as being living epistles, according to 1 John 4:15-18. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we, hold on, let me make this bigger, y'all. I don't have to put my glasses to that. And we have known and believed the love that God has towards us. God is love. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God. Are you hearing me? Love is all throughout the scripture, but you got to come into a greater understanding, because I think the problem is we've been taught a wrong doctrine about love, and we haven't been taught eternal love, which is absolutely connected to responsibility. Because that's what Jesus did. He was responsible with his duty to his Father, and he came and fulfilled it. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. I just hit on judgment earlier, right? My preaching and my teaching is extremely bold because I am not afraid. The gospel set me free. Jesus is my king. I'm sure about that. I'm not in between. I am hot and on fire. And I'm sure that my judgment is correct and that I will be making it in, because I do not sleep with the enemy. I don't agree with the enemy. I don't like the enemy. I do not console the enemy. And I do not invite the enemy in to the things of God. I do not try and mix with the enemy. Oh, I said a lot. Nevertheless, you'll get it. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, come on, y'all, so are we in this world. Okay? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. You are tormented because you are not in love. You are tormented because you are not in the king's love. You are tormented because you are in dark love, Eros love. Listen, you're not in the king's love, which is wrapped in truth. The truth of the matter is, we love Jesus because Jesus first loved us. When you get to that place, deliverance and healing is your portion. The issue is you don't love Jesus simply because he loved you first. What does that mean? If he never does another thing for you, the work is already finished. He loved you so much that he went to the cross and he died to leave a power called the blood of Jesus to work on your behalf. Then he sent his spirit called the Holy Ghost to dwell inside of you and to be your closest friend. And what do you do with that? Elude it. The lies we tell and the truth we elude. He loved us first. We have every reason to love him and give him whatever he wants. Because he gave us everything. He gave us life. He gave us liberty. And he gave us the opportunity to pursue him. I'm Janita Collins. I'm somebody's apostle. If only the ones in this house. Nevertheless, I'm fine with that. Because what good is it to have a huge ministry or a huge building and no truth?